We continue to read today in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' great discourse. We're reminded first of what came before us, which is when we said that Jesus, in taking his seat on the mountain and giving the Beatitudes, was really hearkening an image back to Moses. Moses went up the mountain to meet God and then came down with the Ten Commandments, also known as the Old Law, to share with the people of Israel. We stated that Jesus, in giving the Beatitudes, which is really that interior biography of the life of Christ himself, it really is Jesus laying down a new law before the people, and that is the law really of discipleship, of following Christ as a means to find happiness and fulfillment. So with that in mind, it makes sense that in today's gospel, Jesus in a way is addressing what is his attitude toward the old law of Moses, toward the Ten Commandments. And Jesus confirms that their validity is still equally true, and he points out that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish even the smallest part of it. And so the Ten Commandments, of course, remain still absolutely true, even for the time of Jesus as they are today, and Jesus is really unveiling this path toward perfect fulfillment and happiness in the Beatitudes. I think today's gospel invites us to reflect as well on our own attitude toward the law of God in our life, in particular, of course, to the moral law. Because as often happens in the culture that we live in, people can often view the law of God as being something which is restrictive, impeding, and shackling us from being able to exhibit a greater amount of freedom and what they would consider to be progress. And therefore, the law of God becomes something to flee, something to run away from, so that we can have more control over our life and what we consider to be our pursuit of happiness. But it's worth remembering, as that very word beatitude means, or blessed, that really the law of God and the path that Jesus invites us to follow in the new law, it really is precisely a path toward human fulfillment and toward human happiness. So Jesus also then orients that the purpose of the law is not to restrict, impede, and shackle, but rather it is to free and to facilitate a journey toward happiness. And while it may be tempting to deconstruct and try to abolish the moral law of God, ultimately it's a futile act that only will wind up turning against us and hurting us ourselves. Sometimes I like to make an analogy to the world of sports, and in particular, the game of golf, which, as you may know, is not a particularly easy game to play in terms of getting the ball into the hole in the allotted number of strokes. And so it can be, or it could happen, that someone could say, you know what, this game is getting to be a little bit too difficult. To try and get the ball in the hole in only 3, 4, or 5 strokes, depending on what the par is for that hole, it's a little bit too difficult, and so what we should do is let's change the rules around to make the game easier, and then I can enjoy it more and it will be more fun, or so the thinking goes. And so they say, well, instead of having a hole that is about this big, why don't we make the hole a little bit bigger, and that'll make it easier for us to get it in there in the allotted number of strokes. And then as they still struggle along to accomplish that goal, they say, well, you know what, it's still too difficult. The rules are still too restrictive and impeding me from being able to enjoy getting a score of par. So why don't we make that hole even bigger? And so on and so forth, until perhaps one could finally reach the point of saying, you know what, the only way we can ever achieve real perfection in golf is we have to make sure we only play the game around the rim of the Grand Canyon. We'll tee the ball up within 5 yards of the canyon, and whether you hit it 6 yards or 300 yards, it all falls into that same hole, and we all get to cheer on that we got a hole in one. And that way we can guarantee that we all get the same outcome, we all have the same amount of success in the game. Of course, the pity with that, or the sad thing with it, is if you eliminate the possibility of even making a bad shot in the game of golf, which you would do playing around the Grand Canyon, you also take away the beauty or nobility in a way of hitting a good shot. Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter whether you hit it 6 yards or 300 yards, there is no difference. And the same is going to be true with the moral law. And in particular, when we think of how we've tried to deconstruct the natural law with respect to the gift of human sexuality and human marriage, it winds up being something very similar. That in taking away the goodness of what the God-intended meaning of the act and of what marriage is, we really wind up deconstructing it to a point where, yes, everybody is achieving, in a sense, the same outcome, but the meaning and the value and the beauty which had been ascribed to it in its God-given purpose is ultimately abolished and taken away, and it doesn't lead to a great fulfillment and joy and happiness in life, but rather more in a sense of meaninglessness and not having a real purpose or identity to the actions which we're trying to perform. Today's gospel really reminds us in our own attitude toward the law to be able to say, the law of God is fundamentally a gift. And yes, it consists of rules and boundaries and regulations, but all of those are really meant to be guideposts to help us on the path toward happiness and fulfillment, and are not intended to lead us toward frustration and shackles and chains at being impeded in what we are permitted to do. So my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today, let us ask that we would always embrace the law of God in our life, that we would always have an attitude toward it, that it is given to us to lead us toward happiness and fulfillment, and therefore let us strive with all our hearts to be able to keep it. Amen.